Call this regular school board meeting to order. Irene, will you please determine a quorum?
Yes, Sarah Holmgren.
She will be late.
Mara Ludomski.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Katie Holman.
She will also be late.
Maria Plum.
Here.
All right, let's rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I move that we approve tonight's agenda as written. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl File. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving tonight's agenda, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. To start off the night, we will have a student presentation from the fifth grade teacher, Sarah Dems. Her students created the Rubik's Cube project.
John will chime in, Mrs. Tolan can chime in, and I think, John, do you want to talk a little bit about, Miss Dems is sick, sorry, that's to start off, she's not here because she's sick, so do you want to talk a little bit about the
Yeah, you bet.
The competition part?
And it for years too. So,
up here? Is it working that way?
Up there, okay, kind of impromptu, so.
That's what we do.
I did a contest, has been around, I think, about 20 years now, and Petersburg's always been well represented in the contest. Mr. Engel, he's in the audience right now, he's had several students submit work there. We've had Miss Lure, lots of art, and there are several contests, drone contests, documentary contests, podcast contests. Let's see, what are, I think it's the
And they
other
show
one.
Them off up at the state
and
technology
And what they
conference,
do is
right?
Educators design rubrics, give those rubrics out to teachers in the state, and then teachers help their kids craft good projects, solid projects. Not all of them get submitted to the contest, and then those projects are judged by several of us. I serve on the ASTE board too and judge three of the contests. And then we wrap those up about January 14th. And then during the contest on the Sunday night event, they'll release the winners and the People's Choice Awards. So Ms. Dems, she submitted hers and it will know, I guess, a week from Sunday if it's a winner. And of course it's a winner locally.
Yes.
Very well done. Has a great story behind it.
And some people have seen it on Facebook, I think, too. And I don't know if Mrs. Toland, if you want to add anything or to the Rubik's Cube conversation.
This was a project that Mrs. Dems looked at in the fall and ordered the kit so that the kids would take these Rubik's Cubes and be able to fashion them in a way that they would be able to make a mosaic that actually looked like something, and this one looks like Martin Luther King. And so it was incredible to watch the kids put this together. It didn't take them all that long, which is amazing, and they had a great time doing it, and I think that shows in the video.
So this is the official video that's been sent for the contest. So we'll see.
We had a dream. It all started a year ago. Our teacher, Stems, introduced Rubik's Cubes to Stedman Elementary with a club where kids could borrow a cube and learn how to solve it. Rubik's Cubes hit the toy market in the olden days, 1980, and can now be used to teach 3D geometry and problem solving. The club was wildly successful and soon everyone was playing with the cubes. This year, she brought the course into our Friday exploratory class and started teaching us, the fifth grade, how to solve the cubes. In the lower 48, there are competitions for other schools in Alaska in hopes that next year we could schedule our own competition. We decided to create a mosaic out of 225 3x3 Rubik's Cubes and present it at ASTI in the form of an I Did a Thing entry. We chose a mosaic picture of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., since our goal was to complete it around his birthday. We also chose him because he was a great civil rights leader who peacefully worked towards ending segregation and expanding equal rights for African Americans. The first thing we had to do was learn how to solve the cube. Ms. Dance taught us one method, but we discovered that there are many methods that work. Basically, you have to memorize several different algorithms for each different stage and scenario. The cube can be arranged in 43 quadrillion different ways. It took lots of practice, but it was more than rewarding once we finished. The next part of the project was secure 225 cubes, which we borrowed from a lending company, and figure out how to organize our cubes into the mosaic. In December, we used cardboard to create 9 trays that had to be the exact measurement to hold 25 cubes each. And in January, our cubes arrived. We were so excited, and it only took us 2 days to create the necessary patterns to create the mosaic. We designed the display frame. The mosaic will be on display in a store window in downtown Petersburg for Martin Luther King Day and Black History Month. Then we had to completely solve all the cubes before returning them. If you're interested in finding out more about bringing a Rubik's Cube program to your school and possibly competing next year with us, click the QR code or email sdems@pcsd.us.
People in Radio Land, if you would like to still take a look at the mosaic that they created, it is in Anchor Properties storefront window, I believe, through the end of February. Yeah. So, that's great. Great job to Ms. Dem's fifth grade class. All right, now we will have our student representative report, Maria Funt.
Okay, the school is reaching the mid-quarter this Thursday, and there are parent-teacher conferences Wednesday and Thursday. As well as a four-day weekend, the high school student body is looking forward to the upcoming games, which include homecoming, March 1st and 2nd, which is against Wrangell, and Regents, the week of March 5th and 6th. The 9th and 10th graders just completed their second group of math testing, and we have Mark Woodward, one of the online Spanish teachers from Ketchikan, coming in tomorrow to answer and help Spanish students with any questions or concerns. I was a part of the strategic planning committee a couple years ago and brought the idea of a four-day week to the ASB committee earlier today, and they had some thoughts and concerns and were leaning towards something more like a late start program instead of the four-day week. As well as this, they believe that finals before break would be more beneficial than after break. Along with this, the ASB is looking forward to putting some of our outreach programs to work in the upcoming month, which most likely will include Pennies for Patients and Heifer International.
Thank you very much for that report. Any board members have questions for Maria at all?
Did they say what late start they were interested in? Did you guys kind of talk that?
Yes, we did. There's an idea that instead of doing a four-day week, we could do a five-day week, but on Wednesday have a later start. So instead of starting at 8, we start at 10 or 11. And that two-hour block period would give teachers time to help kids make up work, and we had a student that participated in this at a different school that they went to, and they said it was very helpful for athletes who needed to keep caught up with their work, and they said it was very beneficial to just help everyone reorganize, like, in the middle of the week, and help everyone's, like, stay on track. So.
Okay.
And so then did they end later in the day, or was it the same out?
How the other school did it was they would go from 7:30 to 3 every day, and then on Wednesdays they would start at 10, I believe, and go till 3.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's still the same out time, but kind of making up for the time.
Yeah. It starts earlier in the day.
Okay.
And you want to start school 7:30?
No.
So that kind of goes against some of the studies about teenagers getting up early, you know. 9 a.m. start time. Thanks.
All right, Irene, is there any correspondence?
No.
Okay, any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? Any comments from board members? All right, I move that we accept the consent agenda, which includes January 2019 monthly accounting report, which includes a payment of $752,000, $752,903.26. It is just 1 month of operating. The January 8th, 2019 regular board meeting minutes. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. There's no discussion on consent agenda items, but it is a roll call vote because we are approving money transfer. So, Irene, call the roll.
Thank you. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Marla Tomsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
All right. We will... consent agenda passes. We will move right into administrative reports. Superintendent Knut Pinner.
Okay. Let's see. So we are reluctantly moving along on our elementary principal hiring process since the amazing Mrs. Toland has made the decision to retire at the end of the year. We have our committee working through doing a screening process with the applicants. We have 9 people on the committee. Katie Holmland is on as the school board representative, and it's a nice cross-section of people, parents and staff and myself. We are starting up with some interviews, and we'll keep you posted as that goes along. So some good people out there. School Climate Connectedness Survey, for those of you that haven't seen or heard about it, it's for 3rd through 12th grade students. It's something that's done with partnership through the School Board Association. And we've done it for, I think, about, off and on, 5 to 6 years, maybe longer than that. I'm not looking at Rachel. Maybe like 2012 even, back. But and it does provide some really nice information about how kids and staff, and now families, feel connected and to their school. And so there's a lot of different questions and some questions about safety as well. So the new component to that is the family survey, and we have posted that out on all of our Facebook pages. We have mailed it out on all the bulletins, and we really do encourage people to take that survey. If you need the link again or you can't find it, you know, let us know, but we really do want people to take that survey, and we're interested in feedback from families. And you don't need to do one for every kid. If you have 3 kids, you don't need to take it 3 times. You can just take it once, and that would be great to give us some feedback. So that survey window is open through Friday, so a few more days for that. So we really do encourage people to take it. We are also, it's survey time. Well, there's a lot of surveys, migrant surveys and Title I surveys. Anyway, there's a lot of surveys. So we will also be getting those out to staff about how I'm doing, about how Mr. Dormer's doing, Mrs. Tolan, you know, she's not concerned about us anymore. She's off the hook. Math curriculum work is continuing. That's a huge undertaking, clearly, for it's math. It's a big deal. So lots of work going into that. Also just want to tout, I guess, that we have a pretty amazing professional development opportunity coming up for our teachers this summer. It's a STEM camp that's going to be offered here in Petersburg, and it's one that's been offered around different places in Southeast. We have several teachers. Actually, Terry, I think you did it once. We've had several teachers participate in it, and it's a it's an opportunity for teachers to go go to different communities, and you get to participate in all kinds of local STEM activities in those communities. So it's kind of based very specifically around, like, I think the one, did you get to do the one up to Stikeen, or was that just Cindy and Joanne? Yeah, you were in Craig. So anyway, it's very based on the place and the location, and then there's also a component of the code.org component as well. So that's happening the end of June. We're really excited about that opportunity here for our teachers, and so if you see people bopping around, there will be people visiting our community from other schools, other teachers. So it's exciting.
We only host the location here, or are you guys creating, the content?
We're working with, there's people that have written the grant and have done these around. They're actually located in Craig on Southeast Island. And so they have done this around. And so they work with us, and actually they work with John, they work with Cindy Fry. They're working with Mr. Dormer and I and different teachers here, because you want to design it based on what we have here. So there'll be things based on fish and game and wildlife biologists, and there'll be things to do out on the sound. There'll be components.
So they organize it and coordinate it, or do you?
We do with them.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then our staff gets to attend.
They get first choice to attend, okay. and they can get credit for it, and it's pretty exciting. So we appreciate John's work on that. Cindy Fry, of course, the amazing Cindy jumps in and starts coordinating. That's what she does. She's so funny. And then just to put a plug in again publicly, and we've posted this out on Facebook and around and tried to remind people and put up posters around, but we are really excited to have Frederick Lane come to town. Several of us have heard him speak at different venues over the years. He is a very well-known educator. He's a lawyer. He's a father. He's been around for a while. He's been on a lot of different talk shows. He's done all kinds of things, but he is a cyber safety guru. That's what I would say. So, and he's written a lot of books. He's done a lot of work with families, and talking about all the things that parents talk about a lot, probably more than kids, although kids certainly deal with it because they're dealing with cyberbullying, they're dealing with privacy issues. So he does a whole kind of conversation about law, technology, societal issues, kind of all intersecting in a way that doesn't sound that formal. Anyway, he's very approachable. So, what's the one name of this one book? I love it. Well, Cyber Traps for Expecting Moms and Dads. It's like what to expect when you're expecting. And actually a big part of his push is he really, and so I'm saying this out loud and I really want to encourage, he wants parents of young kids. He wants all parents, but he wants parents of young kids to come, because this is, it's pre-being born. You got to be thinking about all these things. And so there's it's a great opportunity. He's a very well-known expert that's coming to town. So he'll be here next Thursday, 6 o'clock in the Wright Auditorium. He'll be here for an hour or longer if people want to ask questions and talk. We will have some child care, I believe, available if that's an impediment for anybody. And he is also going to do some work with our students, fourth grade and up. He'll have an hour with kind of smaller groups to just talk to them about things to be aware of, and also answer any questions or, if they have issues or things that they're dealing with too. He knows a lot about the law, and he's a great speaker. So next week, Thursday night, we'll have a date for all of us.
Great, and that does align with our board goals that we set for Erica in previous years, was keeping that community education aspect, offering those kind of educational opportunities to the community so that they can learn kind of what things that they may not have access to in other realms. So thanks for setting that up.
Yep.
All right, we'll move into the elementary principals report. Ms. Terry Toland.
Step. Well, it's nice to be here again. We've jumped into the new year, and things are going very well. We have had Phil Hofstetter in from the hospital who has been doing hearing screenings. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate him coming in and doing that. And Aaron Michael, our public health nurse, has been coming in and doing vision screenings. So those are wrapping up next week, and if there's problems, we'll be letting parents know that they should probably go in and get some more screenings done. But it's been a really good opportunity to get that information to families, and a big thank you to them for doing that. We had a tremendously fun family gym night, and thank all of those volunteers that came to help and all the families that came to participate. It was good to see parents and kids out playing together and parents reconnecting with their inner child. And it was just a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll keep that as something we do yearly. It was well attended and I think well received. We did have our spelling bee today, and we're very proud of all of our participants. The winners ended up being Tyler Ward as our champion, and Hannah Hofstetter placed second, and Ruby Litster placed third. And all of our participants were good sports, and they, I mean, the things they were spelling were amazing, so kudos to them. Coming up, the elementary has school on Friday, which is different from the high school. Mm-hmm. And then we do not have school on Monday, so we only have a three-day weekend, but as teacher and service day is on Monday. And then extend an invitation to families to come to our conferences on Wednesday, February 27th, and Thursday the 28th. And so because those run into the evening, we take those hours from Friday, and so there will be no school on March 1st. So I'll put that all in the bulletin. It'll be online and try to keep everybody straight on that. We've certainly enjoyed having Gina Esposito, Joni Johnson, and Sunny Rice come into our school and teach us about recycling and reusing. And they bring lots of good information about the effects of the trash on the environment and ways we can make a difference. And they come in once a month and present very engaging lessons, and we're just so appreciative of them coming in and doing that. Kids are enjoying the snow. They're in the full learning mode and gearing up for Valentine's Day on Thursday. Very exciting day. It's a fun day for all of us because there's lots of positive energy. So it's a fun time of year, snow and Valentine's and 100 day of school, and it's going great. So, any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, sir. Middle school and high school principals report, Mr. Rick Dormer.
Hello, good evening. Busy time. Mr. Troutman said, wow, we're already talking about the end of the year. That's coming fast. Someone who's in his Tolan shoes.
Are you talking about next year?
No, yeah. It's coming fast. Fun news from the ELA department, and I wasn't sure if they'd gotten to the board. I'm actually not sure if the elementary's involved, but the Winter Reading Challenge, the community-wide, if you hadn't heard that, it set a goal of 30,000 minutes, and then we blew through it, and then 100,000 minutes, and blew through that, and 150,000 minutes in 25 days. So we're up to 200, this is from Ms. Lenhard last week, 633,000 minutes read, and this was our students, you know, we're connected with that. So, and there are lots of students, and of course, other community members, borough members, excuse me. So, but really cool, lots of reading, that's awesome, in Petersburg and in our school. So that was just fun to share. I told Ms. Lenhard, I gotta share that, that's so great. In January, a few weeks ago, I was able to attend the MAP conference with down in Portland with Bridget Woodstock and Sarah Dems, and it was really good. It was probably better than I originally had expected. We brought some MAP trainers in here, and they've been good, and the MAP, sorry, back up, these are those measures of academic progress that we do three times a year. Can you start at third grade, Ms. Dolan? Three through eight? And then the
second,
thank you, okay. And then we do it twice a year with the freshmen. as getting these assessments, these third-party assessments. But good data, and we're still trying. I think our staff have worked really hard, and we're really in a good groove as far as administering the test. Kids have been really great about knowing this is, we're taking the test, this is what it looks like, getting back on schedule. So it's been a really good, it is a very good system. It's used widely in Alaska. But this was really good. We went down to say, okay, we have this data. How can we make sure we're doing the best job with it with our staff? You know, being efficient also. I mean, you could spend hours on one kid just combing through all these different reports. It's very extensive. And as we've worked up our response intervention and trying to meet kids' needs, we've been using it more. So it was a really good conference. Thank you again for the time, and it being it was a busy week here. And so thank you, of course, the superintendent, Mr. Cabral, covered. Yep, he gave us a whew. And so I appreciate that, because it was really good. We actually ended up kind of sitting in the back corner, and it was a smaller, really working group, and the presenter was good, but we ended up with one of the NWEA reps was sitting at our table, and she just kind of chose that sit. So we'd spend the whole time leaning over, okay, tell us more, and we're taking notes, and we had one of the reps come over and sit with us. We're staying at lunch, writing down notes, and it was really, really beneficial. So cool stuff. So we're hoping to keep getting better with math. We talked a little bit about this. I just want to say that the educator is rising. We talked about this. Mr. Painter and I have done a training. Actually, Mr. Shumway has been trained previously, but that this is this a great curriculum program out there that it is teachers teaching kids who want to be future teachers. And again, talking about it's not really connected to a career technical education pathway, but it's obviously leading to jobs and preparing students for the next step. It's a really nice program and curriculum, and the state of Alaska has kind of paid for a subscription that we're allowed to use for free. So Mr. Painter went last fall, and we kind of been looking at talking about it, and then we had a student who's one of our older students who's got kind of a varied schedule, and she's really, and she works a lot in the elementary school, and really was interested, and we said, let's do it. And Mrs. Cotta has taken that on, and really appreciate her, and then Mr. Shumway is helping to take this really great curriculum and put it into Canvas, so that we'll have this really nice program, and it could be, it's really cool the way it's set up and be stretched, and you can just do a semester of it. You can stretch it out and kind of make it 4 years by really expanding some of the lessons. It's probably, if I'm in charge of the world, I would say it's a really nice two-year program. And there's actually this big thing out there where you can do competitions with it, where kids practice reading books to elementary age students, or you create lessons and you compete against other kids. It's really cool, really good stuff. We're not at the competition level, but it is going, and we have the student taking it, and we're really preparing something so that we could probably offer a full class if students are interested in it. It has some online components, but it's also, we're a building full of teachers, and so you're teaching us how to be teachers. I mean, we've got experts all over the place, so I think there's a lot of great things we can do with it. So I want to report, because it's cool. It's really cool. And I appreciate it again, Mr. Shum and Mrs. Cotta working hard for that. We had our GOB, and that wrapped up, and congratulations to Jonas Anderson for being the champ, and he took a test to see if he's eligible to go to the state competition. We don't have the results, but it was good job, Jonas, for correctly knowing his geography better than some other great competitors on the stage. So that was fun to watch. I love to see the kids and their brain working. And then the spelling bee also today for the secondary. And Didi Toramura was our champion. So congratulations, Didi. Sort of Viking wrestling short. If you know the Toramura family, she'd have to be wearing a wrestling shirt. And just was so, she kind of sitting on her hands in the pockets the whole time, just nailed it. We went into some pretty deep words. Like you said, Mrs. KP, I mean, really far into some really hard words, maybe the farthest we've ever gone. Second place was Elias Ward, and those two battled. But we had, our kids went really far. I think we had several rounds without even getting out. So really great kids, and they really studied hard. It was cool. It's really fun. Yeah, you love spelling bees. So congratulations to them. I wanted to piggyback on what the superintendent said. Yeah, so the kids are taking out the school climate connectedness survey, both in the middle school and the high school, and just had a kid ask today. So they said, hey, Mr. Orr, what was that about? The idea is, again, and you've, as a board, have probably taken part of that. But again, this is the one we minister where they're asking about things that they see. So it isn't quite as intrusive into their lives about what is happening to you, but it's, well, I see this, or I feel that other students care about, that adults care about me, those type of kind of things. It's good data that we use. We have set a date for March 19th, which is the Tuesday after spring break, to administer the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. And that one is where we need the active. We'll have some permission slips going home. A letter goes actually going home pretty soon, and we'll get permission slips from students to give that one. And that one does say, you know, talking about drug use, and it gets a little more, but it's given to the older kids. And it does get, it's great data, and we'll look at that as a staff, of course, and I believe the school board gets access to that as well. So I know those two surveys are coming up, and I know that a lot of times families ask questions, as they should. Those are about. In-service day on the 18th, as you've heard, as a district, and we are in the middle of conference. I'm sorry, we're getting ready for conference tomorrow, so we encourage parents, please come in and see us. We'd love to see you 4 to 8 tomorrow, high school and middle school, and then 3 to 8 on Thursday. Again, parents, we'd love to see you, and then, of course, there's no school for secondary students on Friday, and then we're in-service there on the 18th. So as a fun time to talk with families, busy time for teachers. And then finally, just looking ahead, I know Mr. Cabral will cover this, but we just realized this Friday is 2 weeks away from homecoming, and that's a cool event here, and Wrangell's coming over. We have a dance. You are all welcome to chaperone. Right, Maria? They're great. You're all welcome. And it's great. Our kids, actually, the last dance, our kids were amazing. A lot of kids had fun. It was a great dance. And then, of course, the week after that, the regional tournament. So we are rolling through a really exciting basketball season. And I hear the girls had a win in Metlakatlin last weekend, which is tough to do. So that's good. Sorry, I'm stealing your thunder, but it was good stuff. So busy times, lots going on. Any questions for me?
You said the older students, but what are the grades that the risk survey is being given to?
7 through 12 for the YRBS. I had to quit. I was looking back at my own data, and I always have big chunks of the high school data. That's 7 through 8 is always
harder to see. Is there a reason why we don't do 6th grade?
I think it's the way it's set up through the state.
Mrs. Edgers? The
yeah.
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 I don't know.
Good question.
I think it would be interesting to see if there's a big difference between 6th and 7th grade.
It feels like there's a big difference, in the building.
But conversationally, it sounds like there's a big difference between 6th and 7th exposure
is.
Between 6th and 7th grade students. So.
Yeah, right.
That data, I think, would be very interesting to see if in 6th grade they weren't feeling like they had participated in risky behaviors, but then by 7th grade we see a big rise.
There's some of that interesting glean from the school climate connectedness, a little bit of that data, but it's not exactly the same. The YRBS is more in-depth.
But you do see big changes from building to building, as you would expect, with the SCCS. Other questions for me? Thanks, Maria. They were really cool in the ASB. I'm an advisor, and I try not to talk in the back. And their conversation about scheduling a four-day week, it's really cool to watch. They're cool kids. They're so thoughtful. They have great, great, great ideas. You know what I mean? It's like, cool. Good for you guys.
Yeah. All right. Director of Activities report, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
All righty.
Mr. Dormer said everything, so questions?
Sorry.
No, it's all good. Basketball cheer rolling along. Region's just around the corner. Our middle school wrestlers got back from Craig. They're all healthy now after the sickness ran through them. It was quite a day. I think we had quite a bit of kids out all over the place. It was like wildfire. But the second place finish over there at the Stikine tournament, it was wonderful. They did great. Really, really good. Karen and I just got back from our winter meetings in January, where we knocked a lot of stuff out in a day and a half. It was amazing. We have everything planned through fall 2019 through December 2019, and all of our things in 2020 are on our calendar. So if you're planning your spring break and all that stuff around Regions, 2020 is filled in with dates. It's amazing. We're trying to get a jump on it and doing a lot of good things there. And we are also hosting, the first time since 2000. I think the spring AD meeting will be in Petersburg, so we'll have 24 people from around Southeast and a couple of state representatives coming here. We're going to be holding our meetings at the Fire Hall April 15, 16, so if you guys want to pop in and see how crazy it is, it's awesome. Come on by. It'll be great. And then tomorrow, 9 students, we'll be taking them on our Title VII Indian Ed grant trip. We are going to Sitka. It is a little bit different this year. We got a lot of different things happening. We are having dinner at the Ketchikan Airport tomorrow and going straight to Mount Edgecombe for a long time. We got invited to Founders Week at Mount Edgecombe High School, and we get to do Celebration of Cultures at Mount Edgecombe High School tomorrow evening. And the events is just ridiculously awesome. These are some of the things that our kids are going to, hopefully, as long as the planes make it, we'll be good. We'll be doing fan and drum making classes. We'll be doing head dresses. We'll be doing Yupik and Yupik dances, Tlingit dancing, Aleut bent with visors, and St. Lawrence Island gut baskets tomorrow night. And then
all tomorrow night.
And then February 14th, we also got invited to the Founders Day Banquet, which is a huge feast at Mount Edgecombe High School, and then get to listen to Stephen Blanchett, who is one of the vice presidents of Sea Alaska Heritage out of Juneau, one of the big wigs there, visiting UAS campus in Sitka. We got a bunch of older kids who are going to talk to them about scholarships, what to do, where they're going, what are they going to do with post-secondary life. And then we wake up at 4:30 Friday morning, go to judo. Got a tour at Sea Alaska Heritage Center, meeting with one of the carvers. And I've never been at the place, but super excited. Got to talk to Erica, who's been there already, and said it's amazing. One of the carvers will be giving us the tour. And one of our own students is very, very heavy into halibut hooks. And the person giving us the tour is the main exhibit person who does all the halibut hooks. So it's perfect. And then we get to meet with some scholarship people there, visit UAS Juno, and then do some more Tlingit art exhibits that night. And then we come home Saturday. So it'll be just bang, 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 bang all the way through. It'll be fantastic. So we'll do that. And then spring sports is just around the corner, February 27th, baseball and track start. We're going to throw snowballs.
Snow.
And, I know, it's great. It's great. Last year was the first time ever we had to plow the baseball field, so we'll see. Hopefully we don't have to do that again this year, but spring sports just around the corner. Yeah, that's it.
Do we have a track coach?
No, it's in-house closing on Thursday, and then we'll get the news there. So. Marla Tomsky is what I heard.
I don't think I can make it over those hurdles.
Neither can I.
Even if I have a ladder.
Just
to
tell them what to do.
Yeah. So, but yeah, spring around the corner, and then the countdown to cross country starts next year in July. Yeah. There we go. Questions? Okay.
All right, Director of Facilities and Maintenance report. We received it as a written report, and Superintendent Clue Painter will give a recap. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, I just for people out there, Dan is out of town this week, so Mr. Tate is out of town. So just a kind of a quick update. We did, on January 30th, we did have a conference call with the contractors, getting all the paperwork, you know, kind of out of the way and ready to go for the food service renovation project. And then we talked a lot about construction timeline and how to kind of stage everything and what that might look like. And we had some things that we thought we already had ironed out that were not as clear on their side, I guess. So anyway, it was good. It's always good. You know, you sit and plan through all the, and talk about, you know, asbestos and how you have to do that and where you're going to park all of your stuff and no, you can't do it, you know. Anyway, it's always interesting, but it was good. I think we were all around the table, about 30 people on their phone, and I don't know, it was quite something. So all the minutes are there for your reading enjoyment if you're interested in knowing more. So we are moving forward. It's exciting. The other CIP project of note that is coming up, and it's been on our list for several years, capital improvement project list, is the underground storage tank project. And the biggest thing there is just that it's happening. We have the participating share. We're moving forward. We're ready to go. The one unknown there is that we don't really know what we're going to find when we get in there. So we're fingers crossed there's not going to be any, you know, sort of contamination around the tank or anything, because that does change what you have to do. So Dan's already doing some front end work on that to just ensure, you know, that we're prepared for that. And so we'll prepare for it, and then hopefully we don't need to worry about it, you know, which would be great. And then this time of year, he does usually like to give you guys kind of an update and an opportunity to look at how things are being managed as far as electrical use and how he does really work hard over, especially the last few years, just the management of the systems and, like, you know, turning on and off heat when it's not needed, and I mean all those kinds of things. So just looking that there's a predictable pattern of energy use, it's important, I think, really important to see that. He tried to go back a few years so that you could see a little comparison there. It's good to see lines that are not, you know, all over the place, and they were like that prior, so I think it's good to see that. Electrical use by facility. Looking at the aquatic center, because we do pay the bill there. So you can see that there is a decline, which is great to see. And there's a couple things there. We really did have a massive effort in about keeping those glass doors closed, because that's the way that heating system works. So we really kind of asked Chandra to harass people, and then I'm just saying that. But, and we do that with our kids too, like close the doors, you know, because that's how the system works. So it does help. And then we have, Dan is actually helping to manage the boiler temperature, the boilers and the pool temperature. So he does that on his system, which is kind of tied into our system. So again, since we pay the bill, we wanted to have a more consistent measurement of that. And they've had some changes in their staffing as far as maintenance and that sort of thing. So that is why he is managing that.
Is that going to continue?
I think we're going to continue to, I would like him to monitor it since we pay it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So for him, where the systems are tied in, he can do it all in the same place on his dashboard, if you want to call it that, I guess. Okay. So, yeah.
What do we pay a year for electric use in the aquatic center? I can't quite see the numbers from here, so.
Well, it's, I feel like, Karen, are you still here? Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation. I mean, I think it can be anywhere from 12 to 15,000 really a month.
A month.
A month.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what we, that's why we want to be in charge of it, I guess. We pay it. We want it to be consistent. There was a lot of, just also part of, the other reason part of that conversation came up is because there was a lot of, I'm going to just say question or concern, I think community and even with our own staff and our in our swimming program, about the temperature of the pool. A mm-hmm. Lot of conversation about it, that it was right around that sort of 80, 81, even sometimes dipping down lower than that. And there was our swim team, I think, probably would like it to stay probably like 81, you know, because they're competitively in there and they
swim moving a lot
more and they're moving more. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult because it's a community pool. So we have five-year-olds in there who are have no body fat and they have no ability to stay warm. They're blue, you know, so... anyway, that was also part of why we became a little bit more involved in that as well. So we wanted it to be a consistent, and we were interested to see what would happen if we raised that temperature and kept it at a consistent, like a consistent 82, 83. And I think the consistency is the key, if you can manage it so that there's not, you know,
huge fluctuations,
spikes mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. So we were doing a little science experiment, Dan and I. We like to do that. Stubman Elementary. Some information there, pretty steady line. Vocational ed building, electrical usage decline. That one's an interesting one, I think, just to see because of what a difference the LED light conversion makes.
Oh, for real.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Same thing there on the high school. Electrical usage decline and stabilization because of the LEDs in the gym and some changes in the classrooms. So that's a pretty significant change there. And I think Mara and I talked about this a little bit today, that every dollar that we save there goes to a classroom. So, mm-hmm. you know, anything we do there is just benefits our kids. So, heat pump replacement in the district office, again, to be more efficient than electric furnaces. So, things are roughly going the right way. Down are stable, which is good. Those are good things. So I don't know if there's any questions about that or if you want me to pass anything along. There was some specific information there about the boiler upgrades in 2015 and 16. Some notes there. Yeah.
So has it pretty much been ironed out then on, I mean, there's a comment about not, you know, sharing the facilities and then trying to manage them
yeah.
because we pay the bill. Mm-hmm. Is that... I guess that's more of a question maybe for Dan, is how difficult is that?
I work pretty hard and to protect his time, and mm-hmm. he does as well. We play nicely, and we work well with when they have a maintenance person, like mm-hmm. he and Ira, when Ira was there.
Mm-hmm.
I always say symbiotic relationship, so if Dan was out of town, Ira might be a call, and he would be somebody that might even come help us, or if Ira was out of town, Dan would be a next person that could potentially come do some mm-hmm. problem solving. So we tried to have that that working relationship. They've had some staffing changes that have made it difficult, you know, that way. So right
now,
I think...
They're calling from the borough? Anybody in maintenance?
They
from
are.
The
I think, yeah, they are. Yeah, they pull. They pulled, what's his name? Sam? Jackson?
Oh.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I think they're in the midst of their own... issues of trying to figure out hiring. So yeah, so we're protective of that. I mean, there's things, there was something that broke there last weekend and over the weekend because of the cold, and it's like, you know,
Dan shouldn't be coming in.
Yeah, and so and we need to be careful about that. Not just because we don't want to work and help and be helpful, but it's not our system, and so we don't know what has been pre-done. We don't know what it's like. You sort of either need to do it or not. And he doesn't have time to do it, and he's not being paid to do that. So
That's what that was my concern when I saw the report. Was that are we going down a road, because 16 years ago, the borough did come up. Mm-hmm. And fix things and gave the school district $100,000 to maintain facilities, and all that is gone now. And so now it felt like we're going pushing onto the other side. Now are we helping them with things? And I just wanted to make sure that we don't go down that slippery road without being compensated.
And I think we want to maintain a partnership there. Yes. I try to, and Dan works hard at that too, because we want to make it be helpful and a partnership, but at the same time he has a pretty full plate.
Yes, that's what I was concerned about. Adding more to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of where that is. So.
All right, moving into school board committee reports. Cheryl, is there anything to report from crisis?
No, but everything's going smoothly for the one meeting I attended in 3 years.
You made it, girl!
Curriculum, Katie, anything to update from?
I know we had some teachers working on curriculum, but I wasn't able to attend any meeting or anything. But I know they were able to get substitutes and take the day to work together and focus on that, which is a good opportunity for them. So I think they were thankful for that as well. So that's all.
All right, facilities, Jay?
We met with Erica and Dan, and we just talked about our capital improvement projects and kind of a strategy going forward, how to fund that and get a meeting together for the committee.
Yep.
Looking forward to that stuff.
I'm going to skip mine and then come back to it. Negotiations, we've received notice, correct?
Yes, and they will send a formal letter. That's for PDSP this year for our classified group, and I did talk with him. He called, and they will send their letter around the 20th or 21st. I think he's doing another negotiation right now, and they have till the end of February to do that. So it'll probably be after spring break, I guess.
So after spring break, we'll enter into negotiations with the classified staff.
It's so late.
It's got somebody else. Policy?
We haven't met.
Policy has not met. Technology, anything for technology, Jay? Wellness, anything for Katie?
Yeah, we did had a meeting shortly after the last school board meeting. I think it was pretty well attended. This was my first one going to, but there's like 18 or 20 people there.
It was a good turnout.
So yeah, some good conversations about how we want to work towards having mental health and, all these different partnerships, which I thought was the coolest part, was there were so many different players in the community looking out for the well-being of our students that we serve. So
who are some of those people? I don't even know.
Chandra was there from, and the Joe.
Yep.
The new, what does he do?
He's
there?
He's not maintenance. He's the facilities
manager.
Like the programming thing,
So he was there. PIA had some people there. I think mental health did have some people there. obviously, our own staff.
Hospital.
The hospital was there. Oh, yes, Phil was there. Mm-hmm. He's kind of everywhere. It's amazing.
It's great. I mean, he's checking ears.
Yeah,
it's
wonderful.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so it was nice. At the parent side of me, I was really pleased to see so many people looking out for the safety of our kids and in different ways.
Yeah, it was good.
So, it's a productive meeting, I guess. Talking about some events going on and whatnot, so.
Legislative-wise, we'll talk a little bit more about the budget concerns coming out of the state, but as of right before the meeting, the House still had not organized, so they're still kind of in limbo. They can't hear or make committee assignments at this time, so they have been meeting, and quite honestly, it's been a little bit refreshing to see some of their meetings because everyone can be at the table. Everyone can ask a question. There aren't any formalities where they have to go through the chair or you have to, where you know that the questions being posed are whether a majority or a minority, they're just have been able to be freely asking questions. So it's been really great actually watching some of the House meetings. If you're not watching them, Gavel Alaska plays them all day long. You can see playbacks, 360north.org. Thank you, Alaska Public Media, for covering those things. I think that's one of the probably the best expenses that the state has besides education, is that coverage of what's going on in our state legislature. The Senate has organized and has been hearing some bills. There is an education bill that has been presented. I don't know how much traction it'll get. It's regarding college credit, high school students getting college credit. I believe it's Senate Bill 30 is the number if you want to track it. Just a reminder, as we, as there become opportunities for testimony, that we have a local legislative office here. Ellen, who mans that office, is very informative. She will prepare you on how to give your testimony, whether you want to do it live or whether you want to do it written. She will keep you updated on as to when there are opportunities. If you don't subscribe to her email, tell her to put you on the list. You can follow them on Facebook. It will let you know all of the opportunities that you have to testify. I think that'll be one of the biggest deciding factors going into this session will be public outcry in some way, whether you're publicly outcrying in support or whether you're publicly outcrying against what is being proposed or what's about to be proposed tomorrow. So get involved, stay involved. If you're in Juneau, stop by the Capitol. I've heard that they have increased security around the Capitol, but you can still get in. You can go. You can meet our local representatives here, Senator Bert Stedman, and our representative in the House is Jonathan Christ Tompkins. They both live in Sitka, but they visit here often. They have office hours where they're oftentimes open to speak with you, and I know that they will invite you into their offices at the state capitol if you are in Juneau and you want to drop in. Do it. Speak up. Speak up, Alaska. Senator Stedman will be here this weekend. He's attending the chamber dinner that's on Saturday, so he'll give us a little rundown, a few minutes, kind of his state of the state, and then he will do a little bit of question and answering. So if you're in attendance at that dinner, you'll get to hear it first from him. The budget's about to drop tomorrow. Governor's proposed budget is going to drop tomorrow. So I'll talk about that in like 2 seconds, but go ahead. We'll go with our next item, which is special recognition.
Yay! It's February, which means it's School Board of Recognition Month. So we want to recognize and thank our amazing school board for all of the work and time. And you know, it is almost Valentine's Day, so we like to bring a little sugar to your life.
Oh my.
That's so sweet.
My Emily cookie.
Thank you.
It can just be your own.
Thank you.
It can just
be your
own.
On the way home. Nobody needs to know. Just get closer.
Now everybody knows.
Your
they don't have to really know. So.
Thank you. So. Holy cow, that's so huge.
So we just want to recognize and acknowledge that this, you know, this is an unpaid gig. So, you know, we just appreciate the time and effort. And Mara sits and listens to gavel all the time and sends me messages and keeps me updated. And it takes a lot of time and commitment, and we know that you're doing it because you really do care about the kids in our community. So we really appreciate the time. And here's Mr. Engel.
I don't have to
say something. Well, we already
make me follow that. I'm Jim Engel. I'm the president of the Associated Teachers of Petersburg, and I'm here representing our organization. And I just want to express our gratitude for what you guys do day in, day out, year after year. I've been teaching in this district many years, and I can say without a doubt that we're very fortunate to have you guys, along with the many faces that have sat in your seats over the years that I've been teaching here. You each bring professionalism to the job. Your oversight, you take your oversight role very seriously, and we appreciate that. You know, Mara's going to address this in a few minutes, but the policies and the policy changes and the funding issues. The ebbs and flows that I've seen in my tenure here, I feel like I'm kind of having to protect our young kid, our young staff here, because they've never been through some of the things that we're experiencing right now. But those of us who've been here a long time, we've seen it. And if you know, the superintendent's faces have changed, but the board has just been a steadying force in our town, and we greatly appreciate that. And I know the decisions don't always come easily, but we know that you have our kids, our students' best interests at heart, which makes our job a lot easier when we come in every single day. So we greatly appreciate that. So thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, we'll move into, there's no old business, so we'll move into new business. Most everything under new business will be discussion to some extent. So the first topic is state budget concerns and success in our schools. So they're two separate but similarly related items that we'll talk about. So I'll start us off. We have received word that the governor will be presenting his suggested budget tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. And alongside of that, there will be 25 bills or constitutional amendments that will be presented at the same time. 25 is a lot to imagine what they're going to have to be weeding through. So what we hear is that this budget is not going to be a let's look at last year's and reduce. It's going to, what he has said is that it'll be, let's start at the bottom, start at zero, and add two until we hit our what the revenue that we have brought in. What that amounts to, if you have been watching previous budgets and to what our budget would look like this year, the proposed difference is $1.6 billion of changes, of expenses that the governor does not want to pay from the state anymore. Or if he does want to pay it, he's saying that they're not going to pay it because we don't have the revenue. So $1.6 billion is more than gets spent on education in a year in the state of Alaska. They spend $1.3 billion from the state to cover education throughout the entire state. $1.1 billion goes to health and social services. So that is the bulk of the previous year's budgets. Even if you cut out every agency that falls below that, the rest of state government that does not fall under education or health and social services or the PFD is not enough to make up $1.6 billion in reductions. So we are anticipating that there will be some sort of change to the education budget. What that looks like, we don't know. I assume that that change will be expressed in one of the bills that will be put forward, as well as to whether that changes the foundation formula or whether that changes, whether they will fund certain aspects of education but not fund other aspects of education. We just really don't know. So we are anticipating that. We have run numbers. So an overall number, when you say $1.6 billion for this budget, that's 30%. They need to cut 30% out of a previous year's budget. A 10% cut to our budget would completely take away our safety net reserves. So we may have to start discussing what that may look like. At this point, what our plan is, I guess, is once we see the proposed budget, we will start taking action on lobbying. Of course, it's just a proposal. It does not mean that's what it's going to look like, or that's what it's going to look like in July, or at the end of April, if they get through a 90-day session, or changes can be made. And those changes are made by our senators and by our representatives as to what the final outcome looks like. So, you know, we may be asking, of course, our school board members to lobby for our priorities, as well as our community to lobby for our priorities. And there are several other entities that will be needing to lobby for themselves as well. We assume that
the borough will be facing cuts on their own that can become a trickle-down effect to us as they, as our budget is made up of state funds as well as local contribution. And then we could be looking at a possible cut in local contributions as well. So we just want people to know about that now. We want the people to know that we are seeing these things, we are considering them, and we are taking seriously what we expect to see tomorrow, and that we expect that it will be somewhat of a fight. So be ready to lobby, be ready to share your stories of success, share your priorities as to what we say is important to our community and how we show that in our schools and how we show that in our classrooms. And so I don't know if you want to add anything about the
budget, I think the biggest part of that is just, you know, and again, even taking the 10% or looking at those, you know, the numbers are, I mean, numbers are numbers. Karen is here too if there's any specific questions, but you know, at this point there's a lot of kind of shooting in the dark in that sense, and so it makes it difficult because there's kind of this unease. We clearly feel that people out there in radio land and in our community clearly know that too, and there are some people are, you know, probably more aware of, or maybe following. I don't know that they're all watching Gavel to Gavel as much as Mara is, but there are people certainly following it, and it's been a pretty fast-paced you know, couple of weeks actually. So a lot of things, you know, happening. One of the things that's happening that I don't know how it plays out is that our commissioner, our education commissioner, Michael Johnson, is being vetted to be a potential successor for a lieutenant governor. So that's interesting. I mean, he serves at the will of the governor, so it's just a very interesting time politically because I don't know mm-hmm. what that all means. He's been a very intelligent, forward-thinking commissioner for us at that point, but there were some interesting comments that came out during a Senate Finance hearing that were a little concerning.
Mm-hmm. It's very different.
It was different, but it's also difficult to know where what's going on. That's the problem. Like, it's hard to know. Is he, you know, is it keep your friends close and your enemies closer? I don't know. I mean, I don't live that world, and I really don't want to. It makes me feel kind of dirty, so I just don't want to. But he has always been a person of integrity, and so I'm going to watch very closely what's happening there because I was a little taken aback, I guess, mm-hmm. is what I would say about that. So, and that was kind of in reference to the $20 million one-time funding and those sorts of things. That was his responses to that were a little, I'm going to say, disappointing. So, yeah. So anyway, I guess we'll see where that really plays out and how that goes. But those are all just really interesting pieces that are really still being sorted out, you know, just even as we speak. So that makes it tough. We will clearly be asking people to help us tell our story and tell stories for our kids, and not just our kids in this community, but our kids in our state mm-hmm. and what they deserve. And that it really is about them, and we need to keep our eye on that. And so what drops tomorrow does not have to be what ends up in July. That's the one message. And then that we can help shape that. And it really is our job to do that. That's the people's government. So we need to be having a voice there, and we need to tell our story, and we need to help shape where it really should go, I think is what I would say about that. So we're not panicking. We are going to work together and stick together and tell our stories, and we will survive things, as Jim has said. We do. But it's some difficult times right now. So I guess there's that.
So I will, I guess, add, because I know that there's a lot of questions out regarding the supplemental bill that was presented a few weeks ago that showed a $20 million cut to school districts around the state. So that supplemental bill that was presented has to be passed by both houses in order for it to become true. So while we are looking at it carefully, it does not have much support from our local representatives. As far as I can tell, listening to the meetings, they're asking very hard, tough questions as to why that would be a priority at this point versus trying to find those funds in a future budget. My outlook is that that will not pass in the supplemental budget. And if it does not pass, then the monies do go out to schools in the same way that they were going to go out before. So there has to be action from both bodies in order for that supplemental bill, as it is written, to go forward. So.
Yes, I do think that's important because that and the $30 million the same one time for next year.
Yeah, and the $30 million right now is written into law. So they would have to change that law to take those $30 million one-time funding for fiscal year 20 back away. So now they can still change fiscal year 20, whether that's through the foundation, whether that's through changing the rate at which they pay. They can change that. But at this point, they would have to present another supplemental bill, and they would all have to pass it in order to take those funds back. So it can't just come straight from the governor. And he can't add things back in. He can only veto things out. So once a final bill is presented to him, he will have veto power, but he won't necessarily have additional power at that point. And then I wanted to just facts. I just want to give facts. The proposed PFD payment, as they are suggesting that it gets paid out this year, will cost the state $1.9 billion if it is paid out in what was expected after we received the cut and then getting paid back for last year's quote-unquote cut. That will cost the state $1.9 billion. So. In just this fiscal year. So just so people know numbers and what that looks like in reality, it's a lot of money. So.
Yeah. Now, is there anything else you think that would guys covered be good to know from finance perspective?
No. It's always difficult to be put in this position. It's unfortunate that the state sees has not taken it as a priority to have stabilized funding for school districts. I mean, we're in this position every year, and it's always during the same time where we're trying to set up our following year's budgets, what our classrooms look like, what our school enrollments look like, and it's an unfortunate timing, and it hasn't been something that the legislature has been able to solve, unfortunately. So you could also lobby for that. Stabilized funding so that we can forward plan.
I would agree with that as well, because that's even tonight. We have obligations that we do that we're required to do. So tonight you're voting on tenured teacher contracts, and that's what we have to do. You know, so no business runs like that. You don't wait to find out what you're going to get in July, and then you figure out what you're paying people in January. Anyway, so yes, I would agree. That would be another good talking point. If you need something to start talking to your legislators about, I would start advocating strongly again for that.
You know, it would be nice, for some people, when they go to legislature or when they write letters, is if we could send out maybe even the city and the school send out some points of
talking points
so people can put it into their letters.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, that might be helpful.
Yeah, we could do that. We could put some of those things. On social media. We could send them out. Sure.
I think it would help me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep, we can do that.
Because then you write it and you forget.
Yeah.
But I think that would be helpful.
We can do that. We'll work on that.
And then the second part to the business is that we want to start changing the conversation. Oftentimes I hear that the Alaska schools are failing, and we know that that's just not true, that Alaska has produced some excellent people that have come through the Alaska school systems, and especially here in our own Petersburg School District. So we are going to be asking that the public weigh in and tell us your success stories, whether that's yourself and you went through the Petersburg School District many years ago and now you are a success, or maybe your children or niece or nephew or your neighbor next door. We just want to hear your stories of success and what those look like. Are all different types of stories and all different types of success. It doesn't mean that they're a CEO at the top Fortune 500 firm. Success looks different for everyone. You know, a successful artist or a successful dancer. Maybe they're a successful mother, a successful scientist. So if you have a story of success, please submit it to us. We will be highlighting those. I'm going to be starting a Facebook page where we'll be able to present those. We are thinking of asking KFSK to possibly run some, like how we did the students at the elementary school read poetry during poetry month, you know, just reading some of those success stories, because it's always good to hear. Oftentimes I don't think we toot our own horn. We don't talk about our successes as much as we really need to, and so we want to change the conversation that we're not having. We don't have failing schools. We have lots of success. So.
You know, that's a good thing to add to a letter you're sending into our legislature, is a success stories.
Yeah, in addition to
one. Where should they submit them?
Yeah.
To your email address?
To my email address.
We'll work on that.
You can find any board
yeah.
member.
Yeah, any board member or
all
or
our,
me
our emails
fine.
Are on the
yeah.
school website.
All right.
Thank you, Mara.
Yeah,
story.
It really is engaging. Watch Gavel Alaska.
We've had doctors.
Oh, yes. Successful business owners,
yes.
mechanics,
yeah.
engineers. Yeah, the list goes
on.
Where are they now? Whatever
I
we
mean,
want to call
Juno has
you know?
A girl that's doing New York runway for clothes. Did you read that in the Capital City Weekly?
Oh, I did see that.
I was like... There's a success for them
yeah,
right there.
Absolutely.
You know, Juno School.
Well, and I just received, I think it went around the science department maybe here at the high school, but Eric Trask
yes.
is a lead scientist about this discovering how nuclear fusion could be used for power, for energy. He's a lead scientist at a private firm.
That's a great clip.
Yeah.
And they, he leads a tour through this facility where they're crushing atoms.
It's amazing.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
All right. And also did schooling on a boat.
Yeah.
With a fisherman's family and in the school district, you know, public
yeah.
education as well. So it's not, like I said, success comes in all different ways. 2019-2020 school calendar. So staff members have provided input for next year's school calendar, and they have recommended the attached calendar option that we received. That's what we will be discussing tonight. So I move that we approve the 2019-2020 school calendar as presented in your packet, which, is there a second?
I'll second.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll second.
Seconded by Jay. Any discussion? You want to recap it for us, Erica, what it looks
sure.
like?
What is meeting? Sorry. It's M for meeting.
That has to do with conference days, that like parent-teacher conference days.
In
like
August?
Minimum. Like minimum days. Like if they count as a meeting day, even though you might get out early. But
okay.
you know, so they,
meet
because
my parents
you stay late, the teachers stay till 8 on those nights.
Okay.
And so that's why there isn't school like on the Friday. So like a minimum day.
Isn't oh, okay. That's what the blue.
Mm-hmm. That's the
okay.
elementary meet your parent day or a.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Friday,
got it.
The
and then
the
Friday
also.
With the. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is very similar to this year's calendar. We had talked about. There was a lot of conversation about final schedules and when and how to maybe accommodate that. And as Maria shared, there's a lot of consensus amongst the students to try to figure out how to have their finals before Christmas. There's a lot of conversation about that because there's also a lot of conversation about what kids do for work in August. So it crunches the first semester. We have the same conversation every year. I'm leaving that conversation to the high school. And they're going to sort it out. So they're going to sort out
their
final schedule.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Based on feedback from students. And, there are opportunities to listen to what those students would like to see. And feedback from parents as well. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but.
Well, nope, like we're here with this. Well, I can say that staff talked about it, and we, you know, it's kind of, there's really some strong benefits to both. You know, there's that whole stressful studying over winter, Christmas break, and you know, those type of trips, and so then those files over there, but then that's that weird break, you talk about learning, but doing it early really does smash, it's a short semester, so it's a lot of intense learning And we do have several classes that change at the semester, so there's kind of give and take. And so the next step, there was no clear decision, so several staff said, let's see, get a real clear picture of the students say. So we'll be serving them soon, we'll see what they say.
Okay.
I don't know what they're going to say, but we'll see.
Out before June.
So
it's interesting that the
that's where we are this
like
year.
Early, yeah, but it seems like I mean I don't really this year. The calendar does not.
So we're gonna have graduation on the 28th.
Probably the 26th. Usually it's the Tuesday, right after Memorial.
Usually Tuesday after Memorial.
That's kind of what we've been doing.
Yeah.
26th. 29th is a work day.
Okay, so Memorial Day is the 22nd.
So when's the last day for seniors then?
Memorial Day is the 23rd.
The same day.
That Friday?
Friday?
That's what I thought.
Thursday, not Friday. Yeah.
Because did they come back for finals then, the seniors?
No, they take them early.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I thought
there
was
a little bit early.
Last year, did they have to come back for finals?
No. But they do. Sometimes they do.
Okay, that's what I remember.
Sometimes they'll choose to.
Oh, okay. That was what happened last year with my niece. She had to come back.
Oh.
After graduation. Helen, I was like, what?
Here's your diploma. Please take a final.
It was an advanced class. And
I was surprised. I didn't know about it until this year. I was like, oh, that stinks. Sorry, but I would have a hard time coming back if I were her. Yeah.
Anyway, so the other conversation that came up, and this is kind of where you could tell that ASB has been talking a little bit about it too, just different scenarios for calendars, different ideas, different conversations that have come out of conversations with staff and through strategic planning and just having some different options for trying to look at time in different ways. So one of the things too is that we've talked about the minimum number of hours required, you know, across grade levels and looking at if there's any flexibility there for potentially trying to find some additional time for teachers to do some of the things that the mountain of requirements that continues to be added to their plates, whether it's curriculum work, whether it's required trainings, whether it's response to intervention plans.
Or things that they want to do that they just don't have
or
time.
Or things that they would actually like to do, working with collaboration, working with curriculum, doing some cross grade level planning. It gets pushed off because of all the other things that get mounted on their plates. So we are looking at potentially capturing some of the time because we do have some hours that are over in certain areas as far as the total number of hours that you're required by law to have in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that Michael Johnson has been very supportive of is being creative with that time. So if there's ways of capturing some time and allowing time for teachers to truly be able to do collaborative work and capture a couple of extra days for teachers to do that. So we've had some conversations with staff about that, and those could potentially be part of a calendar that we would update for you if we're able to do that. I have to make a case for that and present it to the commissioner who's now going to be the governor, so I don't know.
No, Lieutenant Governor.
He'll be like, sure, that's the only
one. Governor, six
anyway.
Answers to the governor. So
does that look like
moves on up?
Half day or like another day?
It could be another day.
Because my nephew's going to school in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
They have like one Friday, no school.
Whatever
I don't know
month.
If there is just one. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like once a month or maybe twice.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's just like a half day you're out at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Not two, but noon.
Right, exactly. And so, yes.
So
and so that's... yes, that's what they've done. They've tried to work with capturing some of that time, whether it works best to have something that is more like an actual 12, you know, like you say, like a 12 to 3:45, you know,
right.
Rather than so late, or capturing like one a month or one every 6 weeks or something like that, so that you can actually allow and teachers can count on that time for collaboration and work. So anyway, we'll give you an update on that, you know, in March when we meet, because I have to make that case, but teachers were pretty interested in that for sure in the elementary, and then always concerned about time. I mean, especially in the high school, just that content time. It's always
mm-hmm.
a different conversation for them, but I think there was some interest there too, because there's still a need. The work is still there. It just gets done at night or on their own time all the time. So
lots of talk about RTI, and you know, we talked about map testing, and now we have more student learning data, and we've got this, you know, great ideas to try to help kids. It's just time to talk about and set those things up, you know, just
Or you start down the road of having the conversation on a Friday, for example, and then you're out of time. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's calendar talk.
All right, any other questions regarding the school calendar? All right, the motion is to approve the 2019-2020 school calendar as presented. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion passes. There's your calendar. Make your plans.
And those things will not, like the basic things about the calendar won't change. If we talk about coming back about it, adding additional days, potentially it won't change when Christmas is or, you know, whatever. So. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have FY20 tenured teacher contracts. I move that we approve the fiscal year 20 tenured teaching contracts as listed. Is there a second?
A second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Any discussion?
Are we going to discuss what's in them at all, or I haven't seen?
They're just on a schedule. I mean, they move up on the schedule.
Okay, do they change then?
Yeah. Well, it will change because it just wherever they move in the salary schedule.
Yeah, they're all
okay. This said they're going to be that you are approving that they would be offered what we're. Yeah, that there's a number of 34 tenured teachers.
And so there are a few differences than last year too that will be rolling up into tenured. Mm-hmm. Ryan Hayes, who was a transfer in. Because he had received tenure at his previous Alaska school. Yeah,
so it's 2 years instead of three.
Mary Midkiff, as well. She had received tenure in another district. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eliza Warmack has now reached 3 years, so. Right.
Time flies.
Time does fly. All right, so the motion is that we accept the fiscal year 20 tenured teaching contracts and offer those teachers' contracts, of course, to come back for us next year. All in favor, oh, it's a roll call vote. Go, Irene.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes. All right. Sign them and get them back to us. Superintendent evaluation and goals. So we just need to set a date. We pushed back the evaluation from last month. So we are looking at a date for us to get together so we can have an executive session with Superintendent Clute Painter and update her goals for the coming year. So let's know some good dates for you people. When do you think you might be able to receive the survey back?
We're going to get through all the school climate connectedness, all the other surveys, so I will probably send out a link next week. So it would depend on, it might depend on when we decide to, because we need to make a decision about when you want to do your March board meeting.
The school board meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
So that might make a difference too, because it's over spring break right now. So sorry, I'm bumping ahead.
That's okay.
It's kind of down to 16th. But so it would be the 5th or the 19th. So it kind of depends on your houses.
Do you want to, are you suggesting that we have it on the same day as our regular board meeting?
You could. It could be.
Do it after.
Do it at five or do it after. Because there's nothing really to vote on. I mean, there's no action to take. You guys have already done the contract. So it's more
just a discussion with you.
It's discussion and goal setting for me. So it could be whenever.
What does the March board meeting usually look like? Lengthwise.
Who knows right now?
Well, we can tentatively say it, and if the agenda gets too long, then we can always just pick a different night to do. Mm-hmm.
Does that work for you guys to recess into executive session after the next school board meeting?
Is that going to be on the fifth? That works for me.
I'm guessing that we're going to push it until after spring break.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Over the 19th?
No. Oh, I don't.
Maybe.
Well, that's only one, two. It's only 3 weeks away. So, but then
is everybody here on the 19th?
Yeah,
should be. Yes. Just kidding. I can dream about 100%. No events.
I don't have anything either.
Okay, then let's plug it in.
The
19th?
Think
of the
19th.
For the board meeting? Mm-hmm. And then maybe the executive session.
Afterwards.
You could do it after, you could do it before. I guess it depends on whatever.
Well, we have a board meeting at 6.
Well, I was going to say, I think
I don't
we
know.
Can't
yeah,
go before.
Don't for you.
It'd have to be after.
Okay. And it can be a different day. It's really up to you guys.
We'll figure it out.
You decide.
Sometimes it's nice to just do it.
Yeah, because you're here.
Yep,
yeah,
here.
I'm more inclined to
okay.
prefer that if everybody else is okay with it.
I don't have anything on this.
Sounds great.
All right. Resignation acceptance. So the board recognizes the resignation of Kari Beckland, part-time food service assistant, effective Friday, February 1st, as accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board. So,
that's really sad.
Yeah. So she has moved on, but moving right into a personnel hire. So the recommended motion, I move that we approve the personnel hire of Dia Aris?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As part-time food service aide, effective February 4th, 2009. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Katie.
She was faster than you.
Any discussion or questions regarding that? Anyone?
It's nice that it was filled that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had several applications.
There were a couple of people.
Several
good.
Great applications.
Especially
for.
Mid-year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not always the easiest.
She's been great. She used to work at the Children's Center.
All right, Irene, go ahead and call the roll.
Cheryl Pyle?
Yes.
Jane Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Homeland?
Yes.
Oh.
All right, we have another personnel hired of certified staff. I move that we approve the hire of Iona Ward as our secondary physical science teacher effective August of 2019, so that'll be physical science teacher of next year. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Any discussion? Sarah did serve on the committee,
mm-hmm.
on the hiring committee, so.
And for those that don't know, she's actually a certified teacher already that is doing the culinary arts class this year and then has been an aide in the district for a while and has her previous life before she came into education was pretty scientific background, so I think she'll do, from the sounds of it, she'll do great.
Extensive science.
Yeah, food science.
Upper level science.
Yeah. Like serious science. Not.
I don't
not
want people to
science.
Misunderstand that.
Yeah.
Culinary teacher.
No. It was food science. In Europe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Irene, call the roll. The motion is to approve the hire of Iona Ward as the secondary physical science teacher.
Mara Lutomsky.
Yes.
Katie Holman.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl Pyle.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
All right, so item number 8, I think that we already took it, but I can make a motion.
Mm-hmm.
I move that we reschedule the March 2019 meeting to be March 19th at regular time, and then we will recess into executive session afterwards in order to do Erica's evaluation and update her goals. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jay. Any further discussion than what we already discussed? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes.
I oppose.
Any additional comments from board members this evening? Thank you very much, Irene, for baking for us.
No.
What a treat.
Always a beautiful, yummy treat. And also, pro tip, her husband is also a excellent cookie baker as well. All right, so we have some upcoming dates and meeting announcements. We'll rattle through these quickly. Of course, you can always see the academic and activities calendar on the PCSD.us website, and it sounds like Jamie has even updated that into 2020. So log in, you can see it. February 13th, that's a Wednesday, the middle school and high school evening conferences will happen, as well as on February 14th, on a Thursday, Happy Valentine's Day, and Happy Valentine's Day to those teachers who are having evening conferences with parents again. There will be early release for middle school and high school students that day. For middle school and high school only. On February 15th, that'll be a vacation day for middle school and high school. February 18th, that is Monday, it is President's Day, so there will be no school district-wide. February 21st, please come and attend the Fred Lane Cyber Safety presentation. That'll be happening at 6 o'clock in Wright Auditorium. It'll be a great event. Put it on your calendars. Don't miss it. February 25th, activities and athletics orientation number 5 at 6:30 p.m. in Wright Auditorium. If you have not attended, for your student who wants to participate in activities or athletics, if you're a parent that has not attended that orientation, please try and attend February 25th. February 27th, that's a Wednesday, will be evening conferences for the elementary school. And on the Scholastic Book Fair will be happening during those conference hours. So be sure to stop by the book fair during that time. Your student will have chosen a list of favorites that they will want you to purchase. Mm-hmm. Please purchase all those books. Add up to free books in the classroom as well, so their teachers can earn some free books as well. There will be elementary school evening conferences on February 28th. That's a Thursday as well. The elementary school that day will be on an early release. And the book fair, of course, is still going on during those conference hours as well. March 1st is a vacation day for elementary school only. Spring break happens March 11th through March 15th, so no school, don't come. We won't see you. The agenda, maybe we can set that. You're gone during school break? Are you gone during school break?
I am during spring break.
So do you want to set it before?
Yes.
The week before?
And you'll be here that week, right? Right prior?
I think so.
Okay.
The 4th?
Actually, any time that week is fine for me, the week prior to spring break.
Okay.
Is that, how is your
about a Thursday? Work? How about a Thursday?
Thursday,
just not at noon seven. Time.
Not at noon?
Not at noon.
Is earlier better for you on Thursday?
Earlier is great.
Like 9-ish or?
Fabulous.
9 on Thursday the 7th.
I'm going to write that down.
That's official.
And then Campus Connection will be on Tuesday the 19th at 12:30 p.m. Is there anyone dying to be on Campus Connection?
I can do it.
Sarah ran in for Campus Connection today, and then we were already filled up.
Hopefully I'm on time.
And then our regular school board meeting will be at 6 p.m. on the 19th of March in the middle school, high school library. Any future agenda items? I move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Katie Hemlund, all in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye. We are adjourned.